Hi, this is Shivago Lang, host of ZLive, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
My name is Dr. Graham Cates, and this is The Urologist Speaks. I'm in tonight on behalf of my good friend, Dr. Greg Pinto. And tonight, joining me in studio are two wonderful people that I've had the opportunity to work with for many years in the health sector in the Bahamas. First of all, Dr. Dorset Williams and my beautiful wife, Nurse Anita Cates. My name again is Dr. Graham Cates, and I'll be hosting you this evening. Thank you for joining us for this evening. I'll allow our two guests to introduce themselves as well and just tell us a little bit about themselves. We'll start off with Dr. Dorset Williams, my colleague at Family Medicine Center.
Good evening, Bahamas. I'm Dr. Alexia Dorset Williams, and I'm a family physician, and I've been in the profession for 20 plus years. And I'm presently working with Dr. Graham Cates at the Family Medicine Center on Blake Road.
Welcome. It's wonderful to have you here.
Hi. Good evening. My name is Anita Cates. I'm a nurse practitioner, and I specialize in health and wellness and the prevention of management of chronic non-communicable diseases.
So this evening promises to be an exciting evening for you. And as I walked into the studio this evening, I picked up the paper that was sitting here, and the topic in the headline is "The Region Faces Rising Premature Deaths." As we're going to talk a little bit about, obviously, how do we impact the health of our country? How do we impact the health of our country by reducing non-communicable diseases, controlling non-communicable diseases, and also ensuring that we are looking after the health of Bahamians throughout the entire country. So we all know that the burden of non-communicable disease in our country is huge. I am sure that each and every single person that is listening knows someone who has diabetes, who has high blood pressure, who is overweight or obese, or is facing some chronic medical health illness. It's estimated right now that about 1 in 7 adults in the Bahamas are diabetic. Our population is running at about 70% obesity rate. These are staggering numbers, and tonight we're going to break down some of the information to help you to live a healthier and a more beneficial life to yourself and your family. So when we talk about chronic non-communicable diseases, let's first of all start there and get a little bit of an understanding of what it is that we're talking about, and also just what is the burden that we're seeing in clinical practice. And I'll start out with Dr. Dorset Williams. When you're in the office on a daily basis, what are the things that you're seeing and how frequently are you seeing them?
Well, we're seeing lots of chronic non-communicable diseases, including hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol. And actually today, I think I've saw probably about 5 or 6 patients with those conditions, you know. So actually every day we're actually seeing it. And obesity, that is actually probably the number one that I'm seeing because we have a lot of obesity in the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these are common conditions that are affecting so many people in our country. And yes. We're not only seeing it in the adult population, but we're all seeing it in the pediatric population as well.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, we all love to be number one in something. But unfortunately, the Bahamas is number one for childhood obesity in the world. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we need to be proud of at all. So, yes, we are faced with challenges, as we can see in the paper. But the good news is that it can change. It doesn't have to be like this. There are so many things that we can lean into and explore and get people fitter and healthier.
And that's what we really want to lean into tonight. We want you to understand tonight that there is hope. Yes, there is a huge burden of disease. And as I read the article in the paper, you know, here in what we're there saying, which is very interesting, is that about 75% of the region's deaths, and this is for the Caribbean, are directly contributable to non-communicable diseases. 75%. This is a huge number, and our people are dying because of uncontrolled non-communicable diseases. And so what I'd like to do is to talk a little bit, first of all, about prevention and how do we go about doing some things that we can prevent people in the first place from the development of these chronic non-communicable diseases. And we know that this is multifactorial. Mm-hmm. So I'd like us to talk a little bit about some of the factors that influence our general health and well-being. And Anita, this is obviously an area that you're passionate about, so we'll let you start.
Yeah, very, very much so. And the thing is that we all know this. So I'm not going to tell the listeners anything different than what they know already. Our nutrition, what we put in our body is imperative to our health and wellness. And, you know, our bodies are so complex and so amazing. It makes me smile that we don't actually get ill more often, considering the junk that we put in there. And it really is a magnificent machine. And there's so many complex things that goes on inside the body is that we forget that we need to fuel it properly. So nutrition is exceptionally important. So I think one of the biggest things that we face here is processed foods. Mm-hmm. And packaged. And when I mean that, that's all the products that are in the middle of the supermarket, you know, where all the brightly packaged things are. And it's very, actually, talking about packages and nutrition, I think that, unfortunately, the companies have done a really great marketing ploy in saying that things are healthy when they're not. And people are being misled by the information that's on the packet. So, for example, things like cereals can be particularly unhealthy in the fact that they raise blood sugars. This is not a good thing for people with diabetes to have. But yes, it says it's healthy. So there's a lot of misinformation. So I would say learning more about nutrition and also understanding what you put in is so important.
And
so that would be one thing.
Yeah, and so speaking of nutrition and what you're putting in, one of the things that I think we should speak into, because when people food, but what about all the stuff that we're drinking as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of extra calories, a lot of stuff that we're taking into our body on a daily basis because of the choices that we make in terms of the fluids that we taking in, the juices, the sodas, you know. Mm-hmm. And we live in a world now where bigger, the biggie sizes, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to any establishment and they're always trying to upsell you on something that obviously is going to have a very high sugar content. Mm-hmm. And we know that obviously there's such a negative effect on our health in terms of having high carbohydrates inside of our diets, which are all of those starches. And it's not just the foods that we eat, but it's also obviously the things that we are also drinking.
Yeah, and I'd actually like to say something here. One of the things I've seen in practice, and I'm not sure if you've seen this, is that if people are skipping meals, and when they skip meals, they feel as though they need more energy, so they reach for a sugary drink to give them more energy. Mm-hmm. And that is a big problem. And we all know a very local company who's creating a beverage which is not always healthy at all. And a lot of people reach for that for more energy when they skip meals.
Yeah, and the other thing that I've been seeing in clinical practice, and Dr. Dawson Williams, you can comment on this, is people juicing or people doing smoothies. Have you seen this
yes.
as a trend and seeing the impact that it's having on people's health?
Yes, yes. A lot of people are now juicing, and but we also need to be mindful because not some of our fruits are very, very sweet, and so we have to be mindful of that as well. Yes, it is natural, but you have to be mindful of the choices of fruit. And then we actually need to put some veggies in there as well, you know, to help to balance it out.
Yeah, about balance, right? And so I think when we talk about nutrition, as we're speaking, obviously, to everyone tonight, I mean, what is a balanced meal? When we think about a balanced meal, what should we be thinking about?
Right. So we usually would talk about the plate method, okay? So when we talk about the plate method, we would commonly say that half of our plate should be our vegetables. A quarter of our plate should be our protein, and the protein should actually be the size of the palm of your hand, okay? And then the other quarter should be your starch.
Now, what about the size of the plate, Doc? Because we got some big plates now. I mean, I'm seeing some 14 and 18 inches.
I think a 9-inch.
It's a 9-inch. It's not that big. Yeah, exactly.
Right, so this is, remember when you were growing up as a child and you had the regular size plates, ladies and gentlemen? This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about these extra large plates that we've created. Mm-hmm. But back to your point about having the balance and the plate method. The plate method is a great way of really becoming very conscious of what you're actually obviously taking in and making sure that you have that balance between obviously the vegetables, the protein, and the starches. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at the typical diet that we have in the Bahamas, we are very, very carbohydrate, very starch forward. And obviously this is disrupting the equilibrium of our bodies because we're just constantly exposing our bodies to very high levels of sugar, which at the end of the day has an adverse effect.
Very much so. And, you know, it's quite poignant, right? Because we're coming up to Christmas. And I know this is probably the last thing that everybody wants to hear. But what I like to say, and for want of a better phrase, is kind of pick your poison. What is your favorite? Is it going to be the mac and cheese? Is it going to be the peas and rice that grandma makes? Is it going to be a potato salad? And pick one that you really love and enjoy it. So my grandmother, she actually grew up in the war. And then when they were rationed, and they had a phrase that said, a little bit of what you fancy does you good.
Say that again for us.
A little bit of what you fancy does you good.
Absolutely.
And I don't think any of us are expecting anybody to be 100% with their nutrition. We're probably looking about an 80-20% rule. So 80% of the time, you need to be on point. 20% of the time, you can have a little flexibility. But I think what happens in our society is it's 80% not on track. And then the token vegetables on the side, which is the 20%. So we just need to flip that around. I think the plate method is fantastic. And anybody can look at that online. You can Google it. And it's simple. And you can use that over Christmas. You can use that at family events. So long as you put your food in those areas, you're going to win. You really are going to win. So,
yeah, and it pays off great dividends in the long term in terms of our general health and well-being, obviously, and that's so important. And I just want to lean a little bit more into the conversation about the carbohydrates and the starches and the impact that they have just in our body as it relates to insulin and insulin resistance and as mm-hmm. we're putting on weight. And I think it's important for people to understand this. Dr. Dawson Williams, you want to speak into that a little bit?
So when we have our carbohydrates, so depending on the type of carbohydrates we have, so there's the processed carbohydrates, and that's our sweet sugary beverages, our cakes, our cookies, okay? So they would break down into the simple sugars, and they actually break down very quickly, okay? And they would actually raise our blood sugar very
high. That's a little kid who's running around.
Yes, giving you all that energy. Yes. Okay? And then we have our complex carbohydrates. We talk about our whole grains. So those whole grains, they actually take a longer time to be broken down. And actually, there's a more of a gradual rise in our blood glucose. Okay? And so that is actually healthier for our bodies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those are some things to importantly understand. Those simple sugars that you're taking in, obviously, you really want to reduce, restrict those. Remember, the plate method is a great way to use, and using complex carbohydrates, complex starches, obviously, and making sure that you're getting that balance. Now, for those of you who are listening and you want to give us a call, I just want to give you our numbers here so that you can call in and ask your questions. The numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. That's going to be 323-6232. Or 325-4316. We're going to move on from nutrition, and that's by no means all, but it's just a small fraction of what we can talk about as it relates to nutrition, to another important lifestyle activity, which is our physical activity, right? And so we are on a daily basis in clinical practice having conversations with people about physical activity. And one of the questions that I get often, which I really appreciate from people, is that they often ask, well, what is the best exercise that I should do? Mm-hmm. And my response is one of a little bit of humor to them and say, you know, well, what do you want to do? What right. are you going to do?
Correct.
Right?
Absolutely.
What is the thing that is going to keep you active, that is going to obviously allow you to be able to get up and go? And so what are some of the recommendations associated with guidelines on physical activity, and what are some simple things that people can do to become more active?
Right. So our guidelines for physical activity, very simple. So exercise daily, okay? And basically, if you're doing what we would call mild intensity exercise, that would be just like a stroll or just general walking, and that should be about 300 minutes a week, okay? And we have our moderate intensity exercise, that would be our brisk walking, our jogging, okay? And that should be about 150 minutes a week. And we can say probably break that up into 30-minute intervals, and you can have 30-minute intervals at 5 days a week, okay? And then we have our high-intensity exercise. And that should be about 75 minutes a week, okay? And the high-intensity would be your really high cycling, your swimming, you know. And we would also recommend that you would put in some strength training in there as well, at least 2 days a week.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people talk about exercise, and it's thrown out there all the time. We hear people say a lot of things about exercise, but I mean, what is the real foundation of why should we be physically active? How does that help us?
Oh my goodness. First off, it is incredible for relieving stress.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is suffering from tension and stress, and one of the best ways to release that and increase those wonderful dopamine and endorphin levels is getting outside and doing some sort of activity that you enjoy doing, and that's the key. You have to make exercise fun. We definitely know that exercise can help with weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know on the 80-20% rule that it's 80% nutrition, 20% exercise. It can help to lower blood pressure. It can help to manage glucose levels, and it can help to increase your HDL, which is your good cholesterol, which can help prevent against heart disease. So overall, our bodies are made to move, you know, and I highly recommend that you start off slowly and then build up, but try different things. So yes, physiologically, exercise has a huge impact, reduction in certain types of cancers, and also just general well-being. And it's much better for us as we age if we exercise as well, because a body in motion stays in motion. I remember one of my friends saying, she said, Anita, she said, I really hope when I'm 80, I can get off the toilet by myself. So that's why I exercise. And I appreciate that. You know, we're going to be less burdensome to our loved ones. We are going to age elegantly through exercise and maintaining our muscles. And also, and we mentioned a little bit about stress as well. And I think about those times when it gets really difficult for us in the Bahamas. And I do want to say round about hurricane season, you know, everything goes belly up. And we need to prepare ourselves physically for that physically demanding time and for those physically demanding moments in our lives. So it's preparation for that as well.
Yeah. I'd just like to also add that you don't necessarily need a gym membership as well to exercise. Not to knock the gyms, they have their purpose. But if you're using that as an excuse to not exercise, don't. Okay? So if you have just some space in your yard, even in your home, you can begin doing stretches. You can run in place or walk in place. You know, stand. You can now watch it on the TV, put on YouTube or some show, you can see your exercise routine. So I think that it's very important that, and you don't need to buy a whole bunch of new clothes either. You
Absolutely
know, it's a matter
agree.
Of just being comfortable and just getting out there and move.
Yeah, and speaking of moving, I mean, you know, technology is really revolutionizing the way that we're doing a whole lot of things. And there's so much information now available right at our fingertips to help us with obviously nutrition planning, to be able to help us obviously with exercise planning and making sure that we're incorporating these things into our daily activities. There are apps that are available to be able to help us with the reminders. There are videos that you can get online, all for free, at no cost, other than obviously having a device to be able to connect, which I'm sure that 99.9% of you listening have a device and you're probably on it right now as you're listening to us.
And
using exactly watches, all of the watches that are available, and using technology to your advantage to help obviously to create a healthier you and also a healthier nation. You know, as we talk about the burden of chronic non-communicable disease, and we look at obviously the premature death rate that has happened in our region at 75%, we want to reverse this. Not only is it a premature death rate, but it's having an impact on the economy. Because if you're sick and you're unwell and you're having to go to dialysis or you're having to go to the hospital or you're having to go to your healthcare provider all the time, you don't have the time to be able to effectively be an employee or be employed, and this has a direct financial implication on the entire family and also obviously on the population. And in this article that I'm looking at here in today's paper, in Jamaica, they have indicated that about 17.2 billion, with a B, has been lost over the last 15 years in economic potential because of chronic non-communicable diseases. That is just an incredible amount of wealth that has been obviously depleted from the resources of the people because of obviously chronic health and chronic illness. I think we're going to be going to a break now. We're going to be looking for you to come back and are looking forward to your calls. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Boy, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bring any knife to school, he could do Junior in.
For what?
Well, he fool with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So what are the boy?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Erin Green, wishing you and your family happiness, peace, and mangoes this holiday season and throughout the new year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
The Urologist Speaks. Thank you for listening in, Bahamas. This is Dr. Graham Cates with our guest in studio, Nurse Anita Cates and Dr. Dawson Williams. Tonight we're talking about health, chronic communicable diseases, and the prevention of diseases. And this evening, as I picked up the newspaper, the region faces rising premature deaths. And tonight we are providing you with information on how to live your healthiest life. The next segment we're going to be talking about this evening is about the value of getting your annual checkups done. And this is for everyone. Children and adults should all be having. And so I'm just going to open it up now to Dr. Dawson Williams to talk a little bit about, obviously, the role of an annual physical. What are some of the components? And then we'll sort of take a little bit of a deeper dive down into, obviously, some of the numbers and things that patients should be looking for.
Okay, so an annual physical is just that. It's a physical exam where you come in to see your primary care provider and you have a head-to-toe examination. And in that, you would also have some blood work done, okay? And this is a time that you would meet with your physician. You would actually build a rapport with your physician over time, okay? So you would build that bond, and you can be able, should be able to call on your physician or contact your physician if you have any concerns. And so the things that we would involve, that are involved with your annual physical, would be some blood work. So I'll just go into some of the things. So we would do a complete blood count, and that basically looks for your hemoglobin, your evidence of your white cells, and all your cell lines. And that basically tells us, most persons may have heard about, you know, the talk is your iron count is low.
Yes, okay? Anemia, deficiencies.
And, right, yes. And so that is just one of the things that we use to look at at the complete blood count. But also, if your white cell count is low, we know that you could be exposed or immunocompromised and prone to more infections. So we look at, you know, tease out the components of the complete blood count. Additionally, we do a comprehensive metabolic panel. Now, with the comprehensive metabolic panel, that basically looks at all your minerals. It checks your kidney function, your liver function, your glucose levels. And that is the way that we would be able to see whether or not there's a concern for diabetes or there's a concern for chronic kidney disease and liver problems, okay? Additionally, we would also do a thyroid test. That thyroid test is the thyroid-stimulating hormone. It's one of the basic tests that tells us about the thyroid function. The thyroid gland actually helps to control your metabolism, okay? And that is actually one of the components that if you're a bit anxious or if you're fatigued, that is one of the key things that we would look at if you come in with those complaints. Additionally, we look at your urine and cholesterol. Let's not forget the cholesterol.
Yes.
So many of us may have cholesterol issues. And with the cholesterol test, we basically look at your good cholesterol called the HDL cholesterol, your bad cholesterol called the LDL cholesterol, and there's another one called triglycerides. And basically we would monitor those levels and be able to advise you as to whether or not, you know, you're on the right track or whether or not you should cut back on your nutrition.
Yeah, and so those are some of the basic important tests to have done. And we'll talk a little bit about some age-appropriate testing as well in just a couple of minutes. But when we look at this basic package of information, it's sort of like you looking at your bank account on a monthly basis and sort of assessing, okay, well, how are you actually spending your money? What is your income and what are your expenses? And this is a great way of doing an audit of your health
mm-hmm.
and being able to have a conversation with your physician, not just about your numbers. One of the things that we encourage at Family Medicine Center is know your numbers. You to know your numbers. We want you to get a hard copy of those results from
yes.
your physician.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take that away with you so you have a reference point in terms of obviously where you are. The benefit of having a sustainable relationship with the primary health care provider is that it provides continuity over years.
Yes.
So from
mm-hmm.
year to year, we can see what are the trends and patterns associated with your blood pressure, obviously with your blood sugar, with other things that we've been monitoring, such as cholesterol inside of your bloodstream. And these are all very helpful to help us to provide you with feedback and information. So in addition to obviously getting the physical examination done, also getting the blood work done, there are some very specific markers that we want to do at specific times. And let's talk a little bit about those and why are those important. So I'll start it off just by saying that for men, starting at the age of 40, you should ensure that you're having a blood test, which is called a PSA, prostate-specific antigen. Now, men, I know that you're all feeling anxious already just because I mentioned the word prostate. But you do not need to feel anxious because we do not do prostate examinations as a matter of routine. There is no digital rectal examination involved in your annual physical. Now, unless there is some need to do so, but as a routine matter starting at the age of 40, we want you to do your blood test, which is your PSA, and your PSA is a marker to look and see, are there any changes happening with the prostate? You know, early detection is absolutely key in the role of prevention and curing people, because mm-hmm. we have identified things, we're going to cure them. Anita, one of the other things that obviously for women is important is mammograms. So when do we start doing mammograms?
We start mammograms at the age of 40,
mm-hmm.
unless that there may be other indications. We know that very sadly we have very high levels of breast cancer within the Bahamas. And so it's very, very important we were talking about knowing your patient. It's really important to know family history.
Yes, mm-hmm.
and
history.
To be in that, and you're thinking ahead, do I need to do mammography a little earlier? But those are in special cases, strong family history of the BRCA1 gene. But on average, you're 40 years old. Now, And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't have a big chest. And it's, and you know, you, I've had many mammograms and you go in and it's not that bad. And I also hear this from my friends who are bigger chested, who say that they're scared, it's going to hurt, et cetera, yes, yes. et cetera. Mm-hmm. My ladies, let me tell you, it really is nothing. I joke, it's not half as painful as when you rip one of your acrylic nails off. So realistically, you go in for your mammogram and it saves lives. I mean, the technology that we have now with the 3D mammography, and we can really, really get some magnificent detail. And again, you're going back to consistency and looking at past histories. So yes, mammograms, absolutely, every year above the age of 40. And then the other bit, we're kind of going from top to toe here, but the other thing for ladies starting at the age of 21 would be pap smears.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually going to hand that over to Dr. Dorset Williams to just have a little chat more about pap smears.
Okay, so the pap smear, that is the dreaded test for women. Okay, I guess it's similar to the dreaded PSA test for men, right? But the pap test, as Nurse Kate's mentioned, should be done from the age of 21, regardless of whether or not you're sexually active, okay?
And I think that's a misunderstanding yes. that a lot of women have, obviously, that yes. if you're not sexually active, mm-hmm. you're not at risk of cervical cancer. Right. But we do know that there is a subset of women that unfortunately can still develop cancer of the cervix. Mm-hmm. And obviously the role of pap smears is to right. obviously...
Right, so it is used in the detection for cervical cancer, okay? And... tied into that, cervical cancer can be associated with HPV. HPV is a sexually transmitted infection, so we would also encourage you to have that test done as well. So the pap test should be done, as we mentioned, from the age of 21. It can be a little uncomfortable, but we would use a tool to look inside the vagina and do basically just scraping of the cells at the, I would say, the opening of the cervix or the os, okay? And we would send that off for testing. And the results take about 3 to 5 days to return.
Yes.
And we will be able to give you the results.
And, you know, the important thing about this particular test for the women that are listening to us and mothers, guardians of young women, really please do have this conversation with the women in your household or your friends in the workplace as a conversation, because cervical cancer is completely 100% preventable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again, ladies. Please listen to me. Cervical cancer is 100% preventable. There is no reason why in today's world women should be dying from cervical cancer, because mm-hmm. we have an incredible screening tool that is available called a pap smear. It is readily available at most medical centers, yes. whether they be public or whether they be private centers, that you can get your pap smear done. So we really want to encourage you to be empowered to look after your health. Another part of the screening program that is very important is colonoscopies. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about colonoscopies, Dr. Dorset Williams, please?
Okay, so colonoscopy basically is a screening tool used for colon cancer. And it's now recommended from the age of 45.
Yes, and that's so, it. That's yes. important, because a lot of people think it's 50
mm-hmm.
because that is what it used to be. But a number of years ago, it was changed to 45. And you mm-hmm. want to speak a little bit into that in terms of why they made that recommendation?
Right. So the recommendation basically was changed because they were finding that persons were actually being diagnosed with colon cancer at a younger age. And so it was very important in order for us to actually be able to treat persons that we screen earlier. Okay, and so actually in the Bahamas, we actually have a high incidence of that as well.
We do.
So we actually encourage all of our Bahamian people, men and women.
Women, yes.
Okay, so both men and women need to come in to have that colonoscopy done.
Yeah. And, you know, colonoscopies, again, we're talking about prevention here. Mm-hmm. Colonoscopies prevent colon cancer.
Yes.
And the reason that we prevent colon cancer is because we can identify what are called polyps. Mm-hmm. And polyps are like little small moles on the surface of your skin, except these are inside of your intestine in your colon. Mm-hmm. And if the gastroenterologist identifies them, they can remove them and reduce your risk of colon cancer by up to 90%. I mean, huge, absolutely huge risk reduction. So these are some of the things that you should really be discussing with your healthcare provider, making sure that you get these testings done, and then obviously tracking. So as we move forward, let's talk a little bit about some of the big ticket items that we're going to see when we see a patient. So number one is we want you to know your numbers. And one of the numbers that we want you to know is something which is called your body mass index, mm-hmm. or your BMI. So Anita, why don't you speak a little bit about a BMI? What is a BMI? Why is it important? And why should we bother to know the number?
Great question. So BMI, very interesting. It's a tool that we have, which is helpful based on your height and your weight. And it comes up with a body mass index. And for normal weight, we're looking, I believe it's anywhere between, is it 18 to 24?
24.9.
Yep,
24.9.
Right 25. And then we go up then 25 to 30 is mm-hmm. overweight. And then we get into the higher and higher numbers. You know, one of the thing about this tool is I believe in the phrase, what gets measured gets changed. So it's okay to say, yes, I weigh 210 pounds, but how is that related to my body mass index? And yes, I know I hear this all the time, but I'm big boned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm big boned. And we know that when we look at CTs of people, everybody's bones the same. It's not the bones. It's definitely the weight. But we do know as well that muscle weighs heavier than fat. So you may find somebody who's super fit and healthy, let's take a footballer, if you will, and his body mass index could be actually quite high. But when it comes down to body fat and also to muscle ratio, he's actually doing very well, or mm-hmm. she's doing very well.
Yeah, and yes. I think this is important, you know, and this is, again, why it goes back to having a relationship with your healthcare provider and making sure that you have that medical history, you know, obviously what the level of fitness of this person is, because mm-hmm. all of this information has to be taken in the context of obviously what it is that we're actually looking at. And the reality is that it's about knowing your number. So body mass index is one of those numbers that we want you to know. The other number that we want you to know is your blood sugar. So let's talk a little bit about blood sugar. What is a normal blood sugar and what is an abnormal blood sugar? And what should we be doing if we do have an abnormal elevation of our blood sugar?
Okay, so when we look at the blood sugar levels, we would commonly tell you to come in fasting, have your blood work done on a fasting sample. So for that fasting sample, your fasting blood glucose should actually be less than 100, between 70 and 100. Okay, any number greater than 100, then we're concerned about you being at risk for diabetes. And so between 100, so 101 to 125, we can say that you're at risk. And greater than 126 actually is considered diabetes. Okay, and this, of course, also, if you didn't have a fasting sample, but you're actually having symptoms of diabetes, or you have a blood glucose of greater than 200, then we automatically say that you have diabetes.
Yeah. So again, this is really important information. You may not remember all of these numbers tonight, but this is important things that you should be discussing with your physician. The other set of numbers that I think is really important for you to know is your blood pressure. So, you know, hypertension is a very common chronic medical condition that we see every single day. I would say that probably one in four people that I see in clinical practice on a daily basis at our office have an elevated blood pressure or mm-hmm. hypertensive. It's that common. And so a normal blood pressure should be less than 120 over 80. Any blood pressure that is consistently above 140 over 90 is considered to be obviously elevated. And that's certainly something that you need to be looking at in terms of your healthcare provider. We're always going to recommend lifestyle management as an initial step if the blood pressure is just slightly elevated. If it's more significantly elevated, then we may want to be looking at medications. And there are lots of options in terms of medications. Now, let me stand on record here, Bahamian people, please, that medicines do not cause you to die from medications taken for hypertension or high blood pressure. The whole point of taking medication, if necessary, is to help to reduce the complications of hypertension or diabetes or high cholesterol or whatever it may be. And so we as healthcare providers are trained and we work with you to empower you with the information so we can help you to make healthy decisions. The other set of numbers that are really important is cholesterol. Anita, why don't you tell us a little bit about obviously the cholesterol, total cholesterol, and obviously why is that important to know?
You know, I think first and foremost, I do want to point out that it is imperative that you speak to your healthcare provider and get a photocopy of it mm-hmm. or a copy of your numbers. So first off, we have the total cholesterol, and that should be less than 200. Mm-hmm. We do know that just having that number by itself is not very helpful. So when you're having your annual physical, you really should have a lipid profile. As Dr. Dorsett was talking about earlier, that is a breakdown. So next on the list, we want to make sure that your triglycerides, your bad fat, is not above 150. That is imperative. And one of the things that causes the triglycerides to elevate were a couple of things: smoking, alcohol, and of course, lots and lots of sugar will increase that triglyceride level. We then look at HDL. And I always remember HDL. We want H to be high and H for heart. So that's how we remember
that. Good cholesterol.
Yes. That is the good cholesterol, yes. Exactly. And we do want that to be elevated because that is heart protective. So that is important. And in men, we want that to be above 50. And in women, above
45.
45, thank you. So those numbers are very important as well. And then we also have the LDL. L, low-density lipoprotein, but we also want that number to be low as well. And ideally, we're looking at less than 100. And also, if you have diabetes, other chronic illnesses, we would want that less than 70. Mm-hmm. Heart disease is the number one killer. And it is so important that these cholesterol numbers are where they need to be to help to prevent against heart disease. But interestingly, you were mentioning, Dr. Cates, about the new types of things that are happening with wellness. And we know that we can now have a little bit more insight into the heart and what's happening there with the arteries. And that would be the calcium score. So I'd like you to chat a bit more about that.
Yeah, so technology is really is helping us as physicians and healthcare providers to be able to provide more information. And again, for those of you that are listening, if you want to call in, maybe you have some questions, I'm just going to give you those numbers again. It's 323-6232 or 325-4316. We'd love to hear from you. So, yeah, tech, one of the things that is now being done is something which is called coronary calcium scores. And what this simply means is this is a measure of the amount of calcium that's inside of the arteries of your heart, which are called your coronary arteries. And we can measure this externally. There's nothing invasive. It's all done externally using a CT machine. that we can actually measure these parameters. And then with that, we can quantify it and make recommendations. So, you know, so as we step back, and let's take a 10,000 foot view, right? We have all of this data. You've come in to see the doctor. You have all of this numbers. And what is the importance of all of this information? When we really summarize it and look at it, what we're trying to do is we're trying to optimize your health. It's like you having a savings plan. You're planning for your pension, right? You're planning for your retirement. You have to invest in your retirement plan so that you actually have something for when you retire.
Yes.
And your health is no different. Mm-hmm. We must invest in our health. And all of this information, the numbers that you get, the preventative screening examinations that you get, are all you making an investment. Now, one of the questions that I know that people are thinking is, oh, Lord, this must be costing a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is a barrier for some people in terms of being able to access healthcare services. But you know what? It's not that costly. So there are a couple of things that I would just want to provide for you. One is that the majority of healthcare facilities in the country, including public and private healthcare facilities, you're able to access these tests that we're speaking about. Mm-hmm. Number two is that if for those of you who may have private medical insurance, once a year, your insurance company covers you for getting an annual physical done.
Yes.
There may be some limitations associated with the scope of what it can be done, but in general, you're going to be able to obviously get most of the things done that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then for those of you who are not in private health care, you can also sign up for NHI, the National Health Insurance Program that the government has launched, which is available through many of the healthcare facilities that gives you access to obviously getting these testings done.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we are looking at reducing the burden of disease, reducing obviously the complications associated with chronic medical conditions, and not only reducing the risk of complications, but reducing the burden and to try to keep you healthy. As this article says, the region faces rising premature deaths. Tonight is our opportunity to help to be able to reduce premature deaths in our country by reducing the burden of disease and also making sure that we identify it. One of the other areas that is so important when we look at obviously preventative health and continuing health care is follow-up. And that's really the next section that I want us to talk a little bit about, is the role of follow-up care. So why is that important to you as a primary care physician, Dr. Dawson William? Why do you want to see me back? Like, why do I need to come back and see you in 6 months, doc? I look good. I feel good.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, when you come in to see us, when we go over your numbers, and like we said, we want you to know your numbers. So, of course, if you have any abnormalities with those numbers, we want to do follow-up. We want to, as we send you out, you're going to make those lifestyle changes. You're going to be eating right. You're going to be exercising. So we're going to bring you back. And depending on what those numbers are, we would usually say for an annual, probably come back in about 6 months,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yep.
And at that time, we do your numbers again and basically see what improvement you would have made in that time frame. Now, of course, if there are, let's say if you have diabetes and your blood glucose is very uncontrolled, then we may bring you back at an earlier time frame, probably like a 3-month time frame, okay? And it's important that we do that because we may need to adjust your medications. And so it's important. And also, actually, if we would actually put you on medications at the time of your visit, we may bring you back earlier, maybe in a 2-week or 1-month time frame, basically to assess your tolerability, whether or not there's any side effects that you're experiencing from your medications. So it's actually very important follow-up.
So one of the things that I hear you saying about medicine, which is so important, and I really want this message to get out there, is this is a collaborative effort.
Yes.
right? The role of the physician or the healthcare provider is just one small piece of the overall relationship that is being built, obviously, with our patients. Mm-hmm. And that relationship for us as primary care physicians, as obviously nurses and nurse practitioners, is so essentially important that we want to be looking after the whole person. We're not just looking at you as a number, mm-hmm. we're looking at you as an individual and the whole collective.
Right. You know, I don't know about you, Docs, but I came into this arena because I wanted to take care of people, and I'm sure you did too.
Yes,
so
for sure.
We are definitely not a group of individuals who just see numbers. We see you as an individual. Mm-hmm. We see you as a mother. We see you as a daughter. We see you as a father, a grandfather. And trust me, your team is absolutely rooting for you. Mm-hmm. And you do have support. And I do want to say that when we come into a consultation, yes, your numbers are exceptionally important, but we want to see you as an individual. We want to know about your, what is it that you do for work? Do you enjoy your work? Mm-hmm. Is it a place of stress for you? We also want to know about your family history. As I mentioned before about breast cancer, there is so, we know that we have such a burden of chronic disease that more often than not, our parents have high blood pressure, have diabetes, have high cholesterol, history of cancer, and guess who's next? Mm. And I actually do want to point out, it's not the generation before, but this is your children as well. Mm-hmm. Because if we're talking to you, and even if you have little kids, we want to be talking to you about how to prevent these conditions in your children for when they get older. So we're looking at you as an entirety, as a spiritual being, as a person who has feelings, emotions. And you made the right comment when you said about collaboration. I think gone are the days where physicians are gods. Yeah. I think there has to be that interactive opportunity. And this is why follow-ups are so important too, for building up repertoires, but for also you, like Dr. Dorset said, for you to come back and also to discuss any worries and concerns. Mm-hmm. But you know my favorite part about follow-ups? My favorite part is when a patient comes back and their numbers are magnificent. Yes.
Absolutely.
And you
fantastic.
Just want to
celebrate.
Yeah, it really does feel
you
like
see
that.
See how excited we get about that? You know, speaking of excitement, we actually have a caller on the line. So we're going to go ahead and take the call.
Go ahead.
We're listening. Thank you for calling.
God, it is stuck in a way so long with you doctors. My name is Brayman Darling Ferguson. My question is, foods, right?
Yes, sir.
Causes a lot of problems, including cancer. Okay? Why is it that y'all doesn't deal, or I won't say so much y'all, but I think y'all are part of it. Why doesn't y'all deal with the people that brings in food that's going to harm the Bahamian public? How can you stop that? Why doesn't you stop situation as such?
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your call in and your question. So the question is one about nutrition, right? And we obviously know that there are lots of factors that play a role in terms of obviously the food choices that people make and even the cost associated with those food choices. Mm-hmm. And so as healthcare providers, we have the Medical Association of the Bahamas, the MAB, that we are members of. And we support obviously the government in making healthy decisions associated with obviously food policy. And obviously if there are matters that come up, we encourage obviously the government to make healthy decisions that are going to impact obviously people's ability to be able to obviously afford foods. There are obviously breadbasket items that are available that the government has made available, and I think more needs to be done. We all recognize that globally, and this is not just in the Bahamas, but this is worldwide. And a lot of it is based on cost. A lot of it is based on lobbying that happens, obviously, among mm-hmm. the politicians and the lobbyists in terms of trying to get their product on the shelf and getting the biggest amount of value. So we really appreciate your question and calling in. And it is definitely a very big conversation. And certainly as healthcare professionals, we are supportive of making reform and making change that are going to make healthier foods accessible and reducing, obviously, the burden of the huge carbohydrate diets that we have in the country. So I just wanted to go back and just regather and take a little bit of a 10,000-foot view associated with, you know, what we've covered tonight, looking at various aspects. So we talked, first of all, a little bit about, obviously, this burden of disease associated with chronic non-communicable diseases. And we see it every day in clinical practice, the diabetes, the hypertension, the obesity. And as I said earlier in the show, I'm sure we all know somebody. We even have family members yes. that have been impacted or are currently being impacted by one of these medical conditions. And so awareness is the key. And so knowing your numbers, obviously. The other thing is about just your general physical. Doc, you just want to summarize in terms of why is it so important that we want people to go and get their medicals done on a yearly basis?
Okay, so we would want you to have your medical done on a yearly basis. Basically, it's all about prevention. We want you to be able to prevent those chronic non-communicable diseases. So important to establish that rapport with your physician, to know your numbers, and to actually try to get improvement in those numbers over time.
Yeah, and that's so important. Rapport with your family doctor, with your healthcare provider, feeling comfortable that you can come in and ask the question. I had an example today where a patient of mine I had seen just 3 weeks ago came in. I had given them some medication to take. He had gone home to his wife, and his wife and himself had a conversation about the medication. She had some concerns, and he decided that he would come back in so that mm-hmm. we can talk about those concerns. And that's what we're talking yes. about, this ability for you to be able to feel comfortable to come to your healthcare provider. As Anita said earlier, we are not gods.
No.
You know, we are human beings. We are in this because we are passionate about what we do and what we mm-hmm. want to do. And we are here to care for you. And if there are concerns or questions that you have, and you know, what we are creating is just guidance
right.
and saying, hey, look, here are the parameters, here are the guardrails. And we want to put these guardrails up for you to be able to help you to obviously to live healthy, to be healthy, and to have a long, healthy life.
Right.
We also, Anita, spoke about, obviously, the role of the screening, very important screening tests. And if you just want to highlight those for us.
Screening tests in women, very, very important. So mammogram starts at the age of 40. Pap smears, ladies, please get your pap smears done. So, so, so important. And also your colonoscopies from the age of 45. And then there's this calcium score too, starting at the age of 50, I believe, mm-hmm. and dependent on your risk factors. So
your prostate test.
I've forgotten about that because I don't have one.
Yes. I'll remind you.
Thank you. And then obviously for the men is for your prostate, your PSA. These are screening tools, just like when you take your car in for a service and they check it out and they say, boss, listen, you need new brakes. It would be sensible to put new brakes on. And as a physician, as a nurse, we're advising you to take those steps and the preventative steps. I do want to say that we're living in this world of technology right now and we are inundated with so much information. So your healthcare provider can also help you sift through that.
Dr. Google, yeah?
I'm just about to say that, yes.
Yeah.
So we have to be very mindful of which websites we go to. So you can actually speak with your primary care provider about which websites. They can actually give you a suggestion if you do want to search information, which websites are better for you. Because I'm sure many of you would have gone on Dr. Google and you come in, oh, the worst is the worst.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So you and we see that in clinical practice every day, right?
Every
you
day.
Know,
yes.
The worst is the worst is the worst. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. So yeah, making sure that you get a reliable
source.
And sources of information, mm-hmm. and obviously using obviously major medical institutions, like, for example, the American Diabetes Association is a great resource. The American Heart Association is a great resource. Even local resources that we have with our own Bahamas, the Diabetes Association, obviously the Cancer Association. These are great resources that you can tap into to get good, accurate health information as it relates to, obviously, what your health is and what's available to you. So we really want to take this time to thank you for joining us on The Urologist Speaks. I am Dr. Graham Cates. I've been your host this evening for Dr. Greg Pinto, who sends his regards. We hope that you have enjoyed this evening. I want to thank my two guests tonight, Dr. Dorset Williams, Nurse Anita Cates, for joining me. We look forward to having another opportunity to come and speak with you again. And remember, this is an opportunity for you to use this information to invest in your health. We want to reduce the burden of chronic disease globally in the Bahamas and also throughout the world. And we all have a part to play. We wish you happy holidays this season.
Yes.
Enjoy your family. And last words from my two guests.
I would say be health conscious, but still have a great time this holiday.
And also give yourself the gift of health. Book your annual physical for next year. Just make sure you're starting the 2025 off right.
Yes.
And again, thank you, everyone. The Urologist Speaks, Dr. Graham Cates, on behalf of Dr. Gregory Pinto. Happy holidays.
Early detection comes early prevention. Put lead in your pencil, make you feel like a champion.
Rise up again.
Let nothing keep you down.
Live your best.